their pajamas, playing in the mud, and some of their toys were scattered across the lawn and driveway. He rushed inside and was confronted by the evidence of incomplete disarray. The lamp had been knocked over, the TV was blaring loudly, with the cartoon channel on, toys and the children's clothing were everywhere. He went into the kitchen and the sink was filled with dirty dishes, spilled over the counter, refrigerator door was open. Very concerned now, fearing the worst, he frantically began looking for his wife. Heading upstairs, he stepped over toys and more piles of clothes. He was really worried that she might be ill or something seriously happened to her. Rushing into the bedroom, he saw her, still in her pajamas, laying there curled up in their bed, reading a novel. She looked up and smiled at him and asked how his day was. Completely bewildered, he looked at her and asked, "What happened here today?" She smiled and then answered. He said, "You know, every day you come home from work and ask me what in the world I do all day long." He said, "Yes." And she answered, "Well, today I didn't do it." Sometimes we do take for granted, don't we? The things that wives and mothers do all day long. But Mother's Day is not a happy day for everyone. Some wanted to have a baby. It's just a dream, but it's just out of their reach. And instead of Mother's Day being a joy, it's a day of tears instead. Maybe Mother's Day is tinged with sadness because you're a long way away from your mother or from your children. Maybe today's a sad day because your mother's getting old and you're wondering what the future holds for her and for you. You've noticed how fast her eyesight has slipped away. She stumbles and falls, and you have to repeat things 3 or 4 times. That's becoming our issue. We repeat things, and one of us is going to have to get an hearing aid, and I'm not about to get one. Many of us have gone through the hardest decision when it comes to realizing that we could no longer provide adequate care for our mother. And we had to commit them to someone else's care. Hardest experience of anyone. But the following words say so much, I feel compelled to read them this morning. It's an old mother in a nursing home expressing her feelings in a rhyme. It says, "What do you see, nurse? What do you see? What are you thinking when you look at me? A crabby old lady, not very wise, uncertain of habit, with faraway eyes. I'm a small child of 10, with a mother and father, brother and sister who love one another. I'm a bride in her 20s. My heart gives a leap. Remember the vow that I promised to keep. I'm a woman of 30, now growing fast, bound to each other with ties that should last. Now I'm 40. My children have grown and gone. My man is beside me to see that I don't mourn. At 50, once more babies play around my knees. And again, we know children, my husband and me. I'm an old woman now. Nature is cruel. 'Tis her jest to make old age look like a fool. The body it crumbles, grace and vigor depart. I'm weak and there's an ache in my heart. But inside this old carcass, a young girl still dwells. And now and again, my battered heart swells. I remember the joys, I remember the pain, and I'm loving and living life over again. I think of the years, all too few, gone too fast, and accept this stark fact that nothing can last. So open your eyes, nurses, open your eyes. Not a crabby old woman. Look closer and see me." I remember in the love note I wrote my wife this morning, I was remembering the song that our group sings. It's kind of a bluegrass number, so it's not a real spiritual number. But do you remember the song, "When You and I Were Young, Maggie"? Yeah. It says, "Now we are aged and gray, Maggie, the trials of life nearly done. But to me, you're as fair as then, Maggie, when you and I were young." Somehow, old age slipped up on us, And today we are what we are by the grace of God. But also, there may be in some folks' lives broken relationships. You have children, and you don't know where they are. Maybe there's severed relationships between you and your parents. Be assured, though, that God does love you. Ecclesiastes says there's a time and a season for everything under heaven. We wept at the loss of your mother. We weep when a child dies. We weep when someone who wanted to be a mother and couldn't. We weep with those who have broken relationships between child and parents. But remember, the Bible says to weep with those that weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. And so this morning is a time to rejoice. This morning is a time of honoring mothers, and we want to do that. And so today is a day we celebrate mothers. I put a video together, and we'll see if we can play that for you. It's a little humorous, and see if that works. This could be a problem. There we go.
Hey.
Hey.
What you doing?
It's for Mommy.
Oh. Can I help?
Sure.
Cool. So how do we do this?
So you got some blue.
Mm-hmm.
And put
the You're a genius. You know your mom is magic, right?
No, she isn't.
Yeah, every mom is. God made them with special power. Whatever you give her, she makes it better.
Daddy.
You don't believe me? If you give her ingredients like flour, sugar, and eggs, she turns it into a cake.
I like cake.
See? And when we got this house, it was kind of empty and boring, but your mom made it our home. I heard you last night. I told her all your fears, and she turned them into prayers. Here's the coolest thing. I gave her 9 months, and she gave me you.
Does that mean when I grow up to be a mommy, I'll be magic?
Even better. God made all women magic. You already are.
And it's beautiful.
Can you do this?
I thought it was cute. Reminds us how magical and how great mothers are for the infants. Thank you. Today, we are commanded to honor mothers, and so it isn't an option for us. According to the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 2 and 3, it says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." So honoring parents is not just if they are believers or if they are good parents. Truth is, this verse doesn't say anything about how good or how bad parents are. It just says, honor our mothers and fathers. First of all, it says it's of primary importance to children. It's the first commandment with promise, and it does have a promise. Children who live with, of course, self-discipline will live longer. The undisciplined children are going to get in trouble, and life will be harder, if not even shorter. Honor has the word here of the right attitude behind the right act of obedience. Somebody can obey their parents, but that doesn't say they are honoring them. Doesn't say that their heart is right before them. But the idea of honor truly is means of value to hold in the highest regard and respect. And so each of us need to remind ourselves that wives, mothers, our mothers, the mother of our children, are to be respected and to be honored in life. Irma Bombeck said that when mothers were being created, they were created with enough hands to handle many jobs at once. Some of us can only do one thing at a time. Thank God mothers are multitaskers. But they had enough eyes to see what's going on all around them. They were created with the ability to heal nearly everything and nothing but a loving kiss. And she went on to say that God had created someone very much like himself. And that is so true. That we have a tremendous example in our mothers of a great and loving God. But not only is it commanded as to why we should honor mothers today, but because of her faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." That's a really full verse if you think about it. Because the influence of mothers and grandmothers, Paul mentioned here, had a tremendous input into Timothy's life. That her influence in his life was lasting. It talks about, remember the phrase, I don't know who said it, you might remember, it says, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." In reality, that's true, isn't it? The teaching of a young person, I think it was communism that said that, "Give us children till they're five and we will have them for life." It is true even in our faith that very young age they catch. It says here, it talks about sincere faith, honoring thy father and mother, which is a commandment, that we will be well with you. So I don't have it in front of me right now, but it was the sincere faith of your mother and grandmother, which tells me that it's that same word, by the way, that we talked about last week, hypocritical. Here it's the word unhypocritical faith. And so it's the kind of faith that others look at and say, "Now that's true faith." And they don't think that mother and grandmother's faith was somehow insincere or hypocritical at all. It was valuable. It was what they're to be honored for in passing that on. I think it was G. Campbell Morgan, if I remember the quote right, who had four sons were preachers. And someone asked them, they said, "Now, ask Dad, which of your family was the best preacher?" They all spoke up real all at one time and said, "Mom." Although she may never have preached a sermon in the pulpit, she was their best teacher. She was the best preacher in their lives. And that is true. Proverbs 31 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Women can be teachers. Mothers can be teachers in so many different ways. And what's the old saying? More is caught than taught sometimes. And how they're... it also says she was a woman of character and strength in her life. I panicked here for a moment. My printer printed my notes and missed a page. Don't smile and think you're going to get out of here sooner. That's not going to work. I'll figure it out. The next one we listed was joy. Proverbs says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. That was an interesting phrase that I read, and I thought, how does that really fit in a woman in a mother's life? But in reality, it says she laughs. It's the idea she will laugh at whatever trouble comes. I know there is some trouble comes that's very serious. But it says a mother, this lady in Proverbs 31, says that she is ready for anything that comes. There's peace, knowing she's prepared for it. She isn't caught by surprise in the trials and troubles. Metaphorically, the clothing is not real clothing, but it's the idea she's clothed with dignity and strength. That her life represents that kind of life that isn't moved and isn't changed by the circumstances that come in her life. Also, Psalm 113:9 says, he maketh the barren woman to keep house, to be a joyful mother of children. The other example, of course, of the grace of God is that barren women who become happy mothers. Can you remember some in Israel's history that happened to? Can you think of? Hannah comes to mind. Who else? Rachel? One more. Elizabeth? I was thinking of Abraham and Sarah. Yeah. But women are not all honored in that way. But that doesn't mean they're unspiritual. So let me say that again. If you wanted children and God didn't bless you with children, that doesn't mean you're unspiritual at all. Truth is that God uses us and knows exactly where we can be used the best and the most. The point of the psalm here is that the grace of God is a marvelous thing, and God blesses, women are to be honored when they live with joy and peace in trust in God. Whether they have children or whether they don't, they're to be honored by noticing the peace and joy that they have. I couldn't help but think, how do we honor mothers? We looked at why we should honor mothers, because it's commanded, because of their faith, and because of the joy and peace they display in their lives. But how does the Bible say that we're to honor them? Well, obviously, in Proverbs 31, it says that her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. It is interesting that it says her children shall call her blessed. She is positive, optimistic, and enjoys her role in life. It says her husband praises her by telling others she is the greatest of noble women. That is an honor, isn't it? To be able to brag on a mother, be able to tell others. It's one thing to tell a mother how great she is. I'm going to visit my mother this afternoon, and I told Rose on the way there, I'm going to write her a note and remind her of the things that I think she did well. We can do that to them. But often, husbands, what do we catch ourselves doing? It's easy to tear down our wives in front of others. But here it talks about the husband praises her even to others. She's known in the gate because he has... By the way, women weren't typically in the gate where business transactions were done in Israel. Men usually did that work. But it says here, very unusual, that because of this woman's character and greatness, she was praised even in the gate in Jerusalem. Certainly, the writer urges upon his readers to recognize and reward the faithful diligence and kindness of great mothers and women. The virtues of a noble wife are extolled in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 31. Did you ever, ladies, read that and think, I don't do half of that? And so I'm not preaching on that passage this morning for that reason, perhaps. Not that it's not biblical and not that it's not in the Bible, but the truth is that most women read Proverbs 31 and think, wow, I couldn't live up to that. I think it is an ideal. And I don't think many folks, many women, could live up to that. And that's not all wrong. Understand that mothers and women are not perfect because they live in an imperfect world with imperfect husbands, with imperfect children. And so today we're not asking folks, not expecting that our mothers were perfect, that they did everything right. Isn't it something, though, the older we get, the wiser our mothers become? Yeah. When we were kids, we thought Mom and Dad didn't know much. But the older we get, the more they seem to know the realities of life. And so we ought to praise them. Young men and others can learn from noble women as they fear the Lord and live wisely. And I think that's the message of Proverbs. The true message of Proverbs is that this lady even was a teacher of men, who she set the example for them in her life. And they certainly, it says, the children rise up and praise her, and her husband praises her as well. A lesson for all of us in words. But not only in words, I notice in the text we read this morning that our life should give praise to our mothers as well. In Proverbs 23, what we read was part of the verses. It says, "Hearken unto thy father and that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begatteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." It is interesting that the greatest honor and the greatest joy, remember in 3 John, I think it was, I didn't put it on your sheet, but 3 John verse 4, do you remember what it says? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. There is no greater joy than to have children that serve the Lord, that love the Lord, that love you, and return that love that you gave them. Someone said that mothers took care of children for 20 years, and certainly in the last 20 years, they should be able to take care of their mother again, return the favor as such. And by the way, let me just say this, that if you cared for your mother in the home, God bless you. But if someone put their mother or their parent in a nursing home to be cared for, that's not wrong. Because the truth is that, now, if you neglect them and never visit them, that's wrong. But to have someone better care for them and to provide for their care and to support them and to be there for them is not wrong. My mother is in a retirement community, and I'm thankful for the care she gets. But we go visit her twice a week. She loves to play marbles. And so we go there twice a week and sit and play marbles with her. And my wife and I look at Jill and said, "We really are tired of marbles. We'd love to play something else." But we go there for her, not for us. So we're going there to minister to her. And what she wants is to play marbles. She doesn't talk much anymore, but she can play marbles and beat us like crazy in marbles. And so for her sake, we're there for her. And God bless her. She's been a tremendous influence in our lives over the years, and I thank God for that. And but there might be someone here who says, you know what? My mother doesn't deserve any honor and respect from me because she's ungodly. She's not an example for me. But may I remind you and myself that there's no qualifications in the commandment that says, honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say honor only those that are good, those that are godly. It says we ought to honor every mother and give them their rightful place in our life. The story is told of a young lady who in her early 20s came from a very dysfunctional home. She had no idea who her dad was, and her mother was a mean lady and had no time for her daughter. The young lady was treated with disrespect and hated. But this young lady became a Christian and began to love her mother. And she would say things and do things that showed her love for her mother. At first, it made no difference at all. She could do no right in her mother's eyes. And over a period of the entire year, it started working on her mother's heart. It had almost been a year. And it was 2 days before Christmas, her daughter had purchased some very expensive perfume for her mother. And it was given to her for Christmas. The mother got mad, flew off the handle, and threw it on the floor, breaking the expensive perfume. As her mother stood there, seeing the mess she had made of her daughter's gift, it dawned on her that she had made a mess of her daughter's life. And her mother dropped to her knees and in tears begged her daughter's forgiveness. The truth is, today, her mother and daughter are sitting in church together because mother came to know the Lord as her Savior. The Lord gave us a commandment to honor our mothers. And when this girl applied that principle to her life, it made a difference in reaching her mother. This is a day that we're to honor mothers. We simply follow directions. If you've been raised by a godly mother and your mother raising your kids in a godly way, hats off to you today. And we certainly honor and hold you as precious and valuable in our lives. But if you've been raised without a godly mother, a godly influence, you've spent most of your life in the valley of the shadow of death, let me encourage you that God promises to be that one that cares for you as well. You may not have an earthly mother that cares for you ideally. Isaiah says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. For I am your God, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Someone has gone through the valley of the shadow of death for you to save our souls. He's gone through the torture and the awfulness. And remember last week I preached on vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Truth is that you may be living on hell on earth. And your relationship with your mother is awful. You work at it. You give honor to your mother. God will take care of the vengeance. God will take care of evening up the score. And who knows, your love and honor for your mother may make the difference. I want to do two things in closing. Number one, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all mothers, mothers-to-be. You are loved and honored by godly men who cherish you and treasure you. And you're loved by Almighty God as well. Second, if you do not know the Lord in a very personal way, do not have never experienced the love of God and the forgiveness of God, I hope you'll reach out to God this morning and say, "I want that love. I may not have experienced it on earth, but I want the love of God." And experience the forgiveness and grace and warmth of God's love, for he took our punishment for us on the cross. I hope today it's a wonderful Mother's Day for you. Our Heavenly Father, thank you today.